Continue our series entitled On Earth as It Is in Heaven. We're walking through the Sermon on the Mount together, and today we're talking about prayer. Prayer is a pretty big deal, isn't it? Prayer is a pretty big deal. And Jesus gives us some incredible teaching on prayer right here in the Sermon on the Mount. Today we're looking at the famous Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start reading in verse number 5 in just a moment. Before we do that, my wife and kids, this has been a couple of years ago, we had a ministry event or something going on here, and they went back home to see my wife's family and to spend a weekend there with them. And they were on their way home on Saturday evening to come back and be at church on Sunday when they had a blowout on the interstate. Anybody ever had a blowout tire on the interstate? No fun. And it's especially no fun when my wife is wrestling 5 children and I'm at home because we had a ministry event going on and she's stuck 2 hours from here on the side of the interstate with a blown out tire. And thank goodness my in-laws were only about 30 minutes away, and so they were able to rush up there. My father-in-law was able to get the spare tire on, and of course, you know, it's late at night now on Saturday night, so they go back to Crystal's mom and dad's house and just stay the night again, get up on Sunday morning, go get those good Walmart tires put on, right? You know, they're about the only people open on Sunday to be able to get tires. And so had to put new tires on the vehicle because, you don't want to go very long on a spare tire, do you? Spare tire is not something that you want to be driving around a whole lot on because they're not safe. You're not supposed to go above a certain speed, and, they're not meant to be a long-term solution. A spare tire is simply meant to get you somewhere safely so that you can get a new tire put on or a whole new set of tires in this case. Corrie ten Boom, she was a well-known Dutch Christian author and speaker, and she became a speaker because of her incredible testimony. Her and her family hid Jewish people in their home during the Holocaust, and she actually ended up in a concentration camp as a result of that. And she she's gone on to be with the Lord now, but shared so much about the testimony of how God sustained her and her family through that. Well, she once had this quote. She said this, asked this question: is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Good question, isn't it? Is prayer the steering wheel in your life, or is it the spare tire? If truth be told, a whole lot of people that come into church on Sunday go about their week more as if prayer is a spare tire than a steering wheel, something that they only turn to when there's a blowout in life. Well, Matthew chapter 6, what Jesus tells us here is that in prayer, there is incredible blessing that comes with this. Those who go to the Lord in secret, we're going to talk about what that means today. We're going to lean into this idea of the prayer closet. We hear people talk about that a lot. It comes from right here in Matthew 6, this idea of the inner room. And he says those who develop the secret place of prayer are the ones who see the reward. By the way, when you see that reward in this passage today, I invite you to interchange it with the prayer that's answered. Think of it that way. That which is truly answered in a transformative way now. That's the idea with this word reward. We also see in Matthew chapter 6 the kinds of prayers that God answers. And that's a good question, isn't it? Well, what kind of prayers does God really hear and answer? Well, we see that also in this passage. And at the end of our message time today, I'm going to invite us to make prayer not the spare tire in our lives, but the steering wheel. Isn't that what Carrie Underwood taught us? Come on now. Jesus, what? Take the wheel, right? And if you've ever heard the song, it's more about taking the wheel. It's actually a spare tire song, isn't it? Because the vehicle is spinning out of control. Jesus, take the wheel. Well, today, would to God that prayer would be the steering wheel of every day, every trip, every moment, whether it's a crisis or whether we're just going to work or going to school and that idea as we're driving. Man, would to God that prayer and that intimate place with Jesus would be our everyday and all day long steering wheel. Okay? And so God's calling us today to commit ourselves to that kind of prayer life. And He's going to call us that today, and I'm going to give you the opportunity and invite you today to make a commitment to a much deeper prayer life than maybe where you're at now. Let's read together. Matthew 6, starting in verse number 5. Jesus says here, whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. Here's the idea: to be seen by people, to be applauded, to impress others, to perform for others. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. They've got their answer. There is no answer to come from God, because they're not doing it for God or for faith or for God's glory. But when you pray, go into your private room. There it is, this idea of the prayer closet, that inner place, if you've ever heard that idea before. Go into your private room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in the secret place will answer you, will reward you there with true spiritual blessings. And when you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father, aren't you grateful for this truth today? He knows the things you need before you ever ask Him. He knows. Therefore, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And here's the title of our series, right? On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then verse 14, powerful word about forgiveness. He says, if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if we don't forgive others, our Father in heaven will not forgive our offenses. Prayer. Is prayer the steering wheel or the spare tire of your life? The prayer closet here. Jesus talks about prayer, and He begins with this idea of praying to our Father in secret. The private room here, just a little aside, where He's not minimizing corporate prayer here. He's simply emphasizing private prayer. The scripture has a lot to say about corporate prayer as well, and the power of that. The emphasis here is those who pray to impress others or to put on some kind of performance or spiritual airs, if you will. And so He's simply emphasizing private prayer here. And the private room, this is powerful spirit-filled prayer. It's developed a strong prayer life is developed in the private place. And some people, when they hear this idea of the prayer closet, they take it literally. You ever seen the movie War Room? Anybody ever seen that movie? Great movie, by the way. If you haven't seen the movie War Room, check it out this week. And literally there, she, you know, cleans out her closet and turns it into her prayer room, her prayer closet. By the way, having a time, a place to pray the Word of God and a journal out and your prayer request, that's a good thing, isn't it? That's a good thing. But the emphasis here is not so much necessarily a literal prayer closet, right? A prayer closet might be your daily commute. It might be a bench in the backyard. It might be the kitchen table. Now, the story is told about John Wesley's mother. And John Wesley, I forgot the number of siblings, but they had a bunch of kids in the home. And the story is told that John Wesley's mother, whenever she needed a moment for prayer, she would sit down at the kitchen table and put her apron over her head. And when the kids, she taught them, when you see that apron go over my head, you better leave me alone and let me pray. You better let me have my prayer time, right? And so our prayer closet, the idea here is it's a place free from interruption, distraction, or even other listening ears, where I can even lay out my complaints or my frustrations before the Lord and just get honest with him. And so the private place, whenever you think about this word inner room, I want to give you some ideas here of what this can mean for us. The inner room, first of all, can be the vault, the place where you keep your treasured possessions. Think about it. In the Hebrew home, the most insecure, unsafe rooms would be those rooms on the outer space of the house. That innermost room is a place where you keep your most treasured possession. So when you think inner room, the prayer closet, man, that's a place of God's treasure. There is a treasure trove in prayer, isn't there? Of spiritual blessings awaiting us there. And so it's like the vault, okay? It also can be like the marriage suite, the private intimate place for the husband and the wife. And scripture says that Jesus is our groom, and the church is the bride of Christ. It's a place for us to develop an intimate prayer life with him. Vulnerability. Now, aren't you glad that prayer is a place of no shame? It's a place where we can come and we can be honest and open about our sins and our struggles, and he will meet us there and wrap us up in his arms of love. Right? So it's like the vault. Okay, it's like the marriage suite. Thirdly, the prayer closet is the wardrobe. You go into the closet to change clothes, or at least to exchange the clothing that you're going to put on. And so how many of you know today that prayer is a place of change, isn't it? It's a place for God to change us. Prayer is not so much about my will being done in heaven. It's about what? His will being done on earth. Isn't that what he taught us to pray here? And so the prayer closet, the inner room, is the wardrobe. It's the place of change and transformation for us. Consider this. Think about the inner room like as a pantry. So like in Hebrew life, a lot of times the inner room or one of the innermost rooms of the home would be the place where they kept all of their food and their supplies to make meals. And so the pantry in our home with five boys, including me, right, four sons and myself, the pantry is the most popular room in the whole house. It's the most popular place, the pantry closet. That is the place. Somebody is always in that pantry closet getting some snacks or something to eat. How many of you know that prayer is the place of provision? Come on now. It's the place of peace and a power and provision. He says, give us this day our daily bread. And so think of the prayer closet like the pantry, man. It's the place where I go to get what I need, the wisdom I need today, the peace I need today, the strength I need today to face the day and to meet the day with the glory of God, right? But also the inner place, we know this well, just having a tornado decimate our city. The innermost room is where you go to get away from the storm, isn't it? The inner place is a place of shelter and of refuge. Church, listen, when the storm is raging in your life, and we all at times have storms that are raging in our life, we can go to our prayer closet. Go to God in prayer, and He is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble, right? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91. And so it's the shelter. So whenever we hear this idea of the prayer closet, think of it like the vault or the marriage suite and the wardrobe, place of change, right? The pantry of provision, but it's also our shelter. And so this idea of the prayer closet is so much bigger than just go get away from everybody else in prayer. Yeah, that's a part of it, but man, there's so much that happens in that place. Today, some of you are here, you're missing out on the peace and the strength and the power of the inheritance that you have received in Jesus simply because you're not spending time in the prayer closet. In prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry what? Everything to God in prayer. So go to your prayer closet, man. That's where the power is, the peace, the wisdom, the strength. It's there with Jesus in the private place. But also in this passage, Jesus shows us the kind of prayers, I really believe he leans into this here, the kinds of prayers that God hears and answers. I don't know about you, but man, I want to know that when I'm praying that God hears and answers our prayers. And we serve a God, don't we, church? Scripture tells us that does hear and answer prayer. And he wants to answer our prayers. As much as we love to bless our children, Luke 11, it says, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to bless us with his Holy Spirit when we ask it in prayer? And so what are those kinds of prayers that God answers? Well, consider this morning, what Jesus says here. First and foremost, Jesus answers humble prayers. Simple, humble, genuine prayers. Didn't he just say, referring to the Pharisees and other religious leaders who were just putting on a performance in prayer in front of others, but yet the private life wasn't developed? He said, man, don't pray like the hypocrites, those who are just trying to perform for others. So prayer is not our performance. If prayer is just a performance for you, just something that we do at church on Sunday or in our Bible study group or just at meal times or bedtime, something like that. If prayer is just a performance, then we're missing out on the power of prayer. And he says here they have their reward. In other words, that you get no blessing, no true spiritual blessing from that. It's so humble prayers. It's interesting, whenever you study the words of this prayer, it's very close to, almost exactly like, a Hebrew prayer called the Amidah prayer. This is a prayer that they pray in the synagogues even today, but they would pray these prayers. Literally, it was a standing prayer that they would pray when they would come into the synagogue, typically at the lunch hour time of prayer, 3 hours of prayer in the Jewish temple and then in the synagogues. And so it was a standing prayer they would pray. And so what Jesus, don't miss this. What Jesus is also saying here, church, is that, hey, you know how to pray. So what he's telling the disciples and this Jewish crowd, he says, man, you go to the synagogue and you do this often. The issue, come on, church, the issue is not the words you say or just something by rote. The issue is the heart in prayer. Am I humble before God? Have I surrendered to His will? Am I submitted to Him? So honest, humble prayers. Those are the types of prayers that God answers. One simple prayer from a heart surrendered to Jesus can change the world. Isn't that right? Just one simple prayer offered by one individual, surrendered heart, can change the world. That reminds me of the story of John Knox, a Scottish reformer. Back in the 16th century, he led the Scottish Reformation. And whenever he was leading there, it was said that Mary, the Queen of Scots, when she came in leadership over the land, that she said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe. I fear his prayers more than anything. And his prayer, most famous prayer he was known for, was, give me Scotland, God, or I die. Give me Scotland or take my life. And as a result, he was used greatly of God to see thousands come to Christ, and the church moved from, you know, doctrinal drift and compromise and all this stuff to a true church once again. Listen, today, the humble prayers of one individual can change the world. Humble, honest prayer. And listen, that ought to encourage us today. Some of you come in, you think, man, I don't know how to pray. Jesus says here, no, listen to me with all due respect. You do know how to pray. Just pray. Prayer is just talking to God straight from your heart with reverence and respect, yes, for Him. But it's not so much specific and exact words as it is just get before God and pray. And by the way, when you do that, Romans chapter 8 says, when we pray, we learn how to pray. The Holy Spirit of God, Romans chapter 8, intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He helps us in our weakness, and He teaches us how to pray, it says in Romans chapter 8. And so if you come in today and you think, man, I don't know how to pray, and man, I'm not sure God hears and answers those prayers, man, just come before God and acknowledge that. Humility and honesty, and God will meet you there, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, He will speak to you there. By the way, three S's. If you want to know how to pray, let me give you three S's. Okay, this is not in your notes, so I encourage you to write this down. We learn to pray from the Spirit of God. You just got to go there. Get in prayer, say, God, you teach me, and He will. Secondly, we learn how to pray from the Scriptures. That's your second S. From the Word of God. There are a whole lot of great prayers in God's Word we learn from. And then number three, third S we learn from are the saints. When we begin to pray with other believers, so corporate prayer, Scripture talks a lot about this, especially in the book of Acts. But in corporate prayer, we learn how to pray also from other believers. The Spirit of God, the Scriptures, and the saints, we learn how to pray from those. Okay? So what kind of prayers does God hear and answer? First of all, humble prayers. Secondly, God hears and answers faith-filled prayers. Faith-filled prayers. And I really believe, listen closely, I really believe this is the difference for many professed believers between a powerful prayer life and an impotent prayer life. It's simply faith. Jesus leans into that here when He says, don't babble like the Gentiles. This idea of babbling. Now, what's He talking about, babbling like the Gentiles? Well, the Gentiles would go through all manner of incantations and ecstatic actions. I mean, you think about in the Old Testament, Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, and it said that they danced and prayed all these grandiose prayers and even cut themselves to try to get Baal to answer. The problem is Baal is not a god at all. He's a false god. And so they're cutting themselves and they're saying all this stuff, and Elijah prays one simple faith-filled prayer, and wow, the fire of God fell on that place. And so faith is the key. It's the key, isn't it? Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, believing, you will receive. Multiple times through His ministry, He told people, He said, may it be done according to your faith. Your faith has made you well. Some people have more faith in praying than they do faith in the one they're praying to. And there may be some of you here today, like professed believers, who think, you know what, man, if I just pray hard enough or long enough or say the right words, if I can get the mantras right, and quote all the right scriptures, then I will invoke this response from God. That's the way the pagan folks prayed. And so the idea here is that prayer is more about, God getting his way than me getting my way, isn't it? It's more about God's way in my life, his desires becoming my desires. He knows our needs. You see that? It's the same idea. He knows our need before we ask. So faith-filled prayers are prayers of acknowledgement that God is sovereign. You're over all this. And yes, I'm going to bring my request. Come on, children of God. Yes, I can stand on your word and I can claim your promises in prayer. Because you're a faithful God. You're a mutable God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you say in your word you're going to supply all my needs according to your riches and glory, you're going to do it. If your word says that you're a healer, I'm going to believe that. If your word says that you're a deliverer, I'm going to believe you for that. But at the same time, God, I'm like Jesus. Not my will be done, but yours, O Lord. Faith-filled prayers. That's genuine faith in prayer. God, you have said this in your word. You have spoken this into my spirit. I'm going to trust you in this. But God, you know my need before I ever ask. Faith. Today, do you really believe God hears and answers prayer? One of the simplest yet most profound expressions of faith in the heart of a child of God is a deep prayer life. Because it is that acknowledgement that, God, you are the only one who can do this. And I believe that today. You're the only one that can turn this around. You're the only one that can change this situation. God, you're the only one that can give me peace or strength here. You're the only one that can give me true wisdom to know what to do in this complex, confusing situation or circumstance. Prayer is the simplest yet most profound expression, genuine expression of our faith in God. What kind of prayers does God hear and answer? Simple, humble prayers. Just go to God, and you'll learn. He'll teach you. He'll grow you, but just go to him. Secondly, it's faith-filled prayers. Whatever we ask in his name, believing we will receive. Faith-filled prayers. But thirdly and lastly, God hears and answers intentional prayers. God hears and answers intentional prayers. Why is that? Because intentional prayers are authentic prayers, where we're praying specific things for specific reasons at specific times. And I believe that's what we see here in the Lord's Prayer. I want to give you this morning, this is actually from Daniel Henderson. That's a name you need to know, by the way, if you want to learn about prayer. Daniel Henderson is the president of the Acts 6-4 Fellowship. It's a great prayer ministry, really for pastors and ministers, but for anyone. You can lean into it as well. Daniel Henderson has written multiple great books on prayer. And in his book, Fresh Encounters, he shares a framework, okay? Again, this is not meant to be just the Lord's Prayer. We say it by rote, don't we? You know, we just kind of spout it off. And well, that's not the intent. God doesn't want us to just speak this formulaically, if you will. But it is important to gain some principles here. And so he gives us a framework. Let me give it to you. This is from Daniel Henderson. I'm borrowing this today, but man, it's a great framework. Upward, downward, inward, and outward. This is just a simple framework for your prayer life. If you want to know how to pray today, so this is a good starting point. It grows so much further and deeper than this as we go to the prayer closet. God will grow you even more, but this is just a good starting point for us for prayer. So start your prayers upward. That's praise. It's thanksgiving. Well, we love our children to come to us and ask us about our day before they ask for money, don't we, parents? Right? Same kind of idea. When we go to God in prayer, we don't want to just come and bring our laundry list of things. We want to start with gratitude. God, you're good. You know my needs before I ever ask. I just want to say thank you today for being good to me. So start upward. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Secondly, downward. What's the idea there? Downward, yielding to the will of God in prayer. So as Jesus taught us to pray here, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So yielding to the will of God in prayer, there needs to be submission, some submission, doesn't it, from us in prayer to his will? And so upward, downward, then turn to request, right? Inward. So God, today, come, forgive me of sin, confession of sin, create in me a clean heart, O God. A lot of this is in the Psalms, by the way, great places to read prayers, inward prayers. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord. Pastor Daniel referred to one this morning. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, O God. Cleanse my hands, right? Purify my heart. Lead me in your truth, O God. Unite my heart to fear your name, as the psalmist said. So inward prayers, but then finishing with outward prayer. That's intercession. So praying for that loved one or friend to be saved, praying for healing for that person who is sick, praying for revival in your church, praying for strength among those who are in your Bible study group or neighbors or classmates, young people, teammates, whoever, praying for God to work in their life. So intercession, but then also reconciliation. When you go back and study the words of the Amidah prayer in Hebrew, there is one glowing addition in this passage that Jesus tacks on to it versus the original wording. And it's forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us, or as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then he doubles down on it in verses 14 and 15. Let me tell you one thing that will absolutely quench the Spirit of God in your life and will completely shut down your prayer life. It's bitterness. Bitterness, unforgiveness, broken relationships. I mean, Paul said that, didn't he, about marriage. He said, Peter did, in 1 Peter. He said, listen, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Love her. Treat her as a co-heir of the grace of life so that your prayers won't be hindered in 1 Peter chapter 3. And that's just one example in relationships, but also all the relationships around us. As far as it goes with us, we can't control other people's actions out in this world. But as far as it goes with us, we should seek reconciliation with others. And the point Jesus makes here with forgiveness is not this one-to-one, you got to forgive to be forgiven. That's not necessarily what he's saying. What he's saying is, with forgiveness, I have released you from all this stuff. So it's only when you release, are you listening today? It's only when we release others of the pain they have brought to us that we are able to be released ourselves, especially in our prayer life, and experience all that God has for us in the gospel. It's so bitterness, unforgiveness. The invitation today for some of you is to come and just get on your face and release that person who has hurt you or harmed you. Or maybe it's to seek reconciliation with that family member or coworker or neighbor that you're at odds with. Man, if we want the fullness of the power of God in our lives, we have to be willing to release those who have hurt us in order for us to see freedom. Is prayer the steering wheel or the spare tire of your life? Today, I'm inviting you to make prayer Jesus, the one who genuinely takes the wheel. Not just when the vehicle's spinning out of control and life's out of control. Not just a little bit of prayer when there's a blowout. But today, God is inviting us into the prayer closet, the secret place, the inner room with Him consistently, daily. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. So glad you could join us. If you've given your heart to Jesus, text HOPE JESUS, all one word, text HOPE JESUS to 77411. HOPE JESUS 77411. And let me encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. If you hadn't done that already, make sure to hit that subscribe button and share it out. You never know whose life might be changed by simply sharing this message today. So share it out. Okay? And so thank you again for listening in, and we invite you to listen in with us next week.